One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio, and yeah, what else can I say? Yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.
Hey, thanks for tuning in, and congratulations on having a smartphone and an auxiliary cable and not listening to terrestrial radio like a fucking poor person. You're listening to our internet radio show. I'm Ryan, that's Bobby on the soundboard. Little change up today. Dave is camping or some shit. He's always doing something weird.
He's got a bunch of pictures of him driving through the Midwest shirtless, and I don't know why.
No one knows why. Like, I didn't even tell you what he was doing. He was like, oh, by the way, I won't be there. And then just pictures on Facebook of him in the middle of nowhere, and I don't know why. But we have a guest host. Very happy to have him back. I believe he was responsible for one of our highest-rated early episodes. Is that right?
Most listened to, yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, yes. Mr. Alan Moore is back.
What's going on, guys?
Alan, how did you do that, by the way? I was curious about that. I saw those numbers for quite some time, and I was like, "What? Does Alan have a cult following? Like, how did that happen?
Sometimes it just takes a fairy.
Okay. So, if that were true, it would work with Dave, too.
Oh.
Alan, you were gone for a while. You moved where? The Kansas, Oklahoma?
Kansas City.
Which
Kansas
one?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, the worst one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Kansas City, Kansas is pretty bad.
Well, yeah. Hold on. From what I remember, Missouri is the home of the Garden of Eden, according to Mormons. So maybe you were doing something right.
Yikes. So what was it like back there? I can't even comprehend going to the Midwest.
I gained 100 pounds moving there.
100?
100 pounds.
100?
100.
Jesus,
from
man.
A nice amalgam of like depression and like
barbecue.
Oh yeah.
Why'd
fried
you,
pickles.
Why did you go there, man? You knew you were going to be unhappy.
Because I freaked out in L.A.
I know.
Had like a total meltdown in L.A.
But why didn't you just come back to San Diego? We could have helped you
like,
here.
I have nowhere to live. I have no friends.
I was talking to Alan sucks. Before he showed up, and I was like, you know, there's a middle ground, right? Between the insanity of L.A. and the its own insanity of the Midwest Kansas City area. Like, you could just be with normal people for a while.
just well, go to fucking Rancho Cucamonga, man. What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, I missed my mom. I'm really close to my mom.
So okay.
I'm a mama's boy, so I was like, I need to go home and visit. And
that makes sense. Okay. No, you
didn't need me.
You got an office job out there that I remember you hating. Mm-hmm. How about now? You got work
I
out
have
here?
A brand new office job, which I actually like the work. I'm enjoying the work. The people are very nice, but it's the same fucking office wherever you go.
How so?
It's the same people that have the blankets.
I
have to bring a blanket to work.
There's one thing I could never stand about the office job is that the person that needs to make their cubicle cozy, like, huh?
Right.
They got the blanket over the feet. They got a space heater. They got a little cat mug. They got the collage
but,
of...
But hold on. It's 95 fucking degrees outside. How are you bringing
doesn't
a blanket?
Matter.
Doesn't matter.
They always look like they have the fucking flu.
Yeah.
I'm like...
And shuffling around in flip-flops a blanket covering
and they got their slippers. I'm like, you're not at your house right now.
No. But you're saying like right now in this weather people are showing up with a snuggie
they
to work
got, they yes, got they got the lamp the little lamp they brought from
day,
home
first day brought a snuggie
what but,
which I didn't slap her face so I feel like I didn't get enough credit for that
good job
oh my god
this is perplexing because unlike you guys I have literally never worked in an office type scenario or at least not for any extended period of time
humble brag
I'm always in the field. And so every once in a while, I poke my head into the office and I see like kind of the weird culture that goes on there. One of the nice things about being in the field is you're never really with the same people for very long.
I just see Bobby sneaking into an office he is not welcome to be in, like hiding behind a fern.
Oh, yeah.
And just like taking notes like, sir.
Sipping the free coffee.
At one point in my 20s when I was in the field, I blew out my ACL, MCL, meniscus. I had like a really bad injury at work. And then I had to be in the office for like 7 months while they figured out how to do the surgery and everything like that. And I was in there and I was just mystified by this culture that I had not been exposed to. I was like, oh, wait, so this is the person who shows up 15 minutes late and then doesn't say anything about it. And everybody's just supposed to be cool with it because they're kind of good with the boss. And then this is the person who's super annoying and tries to get you to do half of their work. Mm. And like the culture of it made me angry after a while because I was like, why is everybody accepting this bullshit? It's just because it's the way it's always been. Whereas since I would just get dropped in there, like Hilo dropped out of nowhere, I'd be like, you people are fucking crazy.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Literally the same people. It's the same stereotypes, everything about The Office. It's all exactly the same. Like,
yeah.
It's the same people, just different faces.
Yeah, yeah. And going back to the fucking cozy cubicle lady, and it is always a lady.
Always a lady. This one's name is Molly.
With the blanket, and they got the little thermos. I'm like, if you can't handle being away from your safe space for fucking 9 hours, maybe the workforce just isn't for you.
This bitch brought in a bird of paradise to put on her desk.
That's not a small plant.
I know. On her first days lugging a plant in, I'm like, you're going to have to take that with you in 2 weeks.
Is that a swirl cactus? How did you even get that in here?
Yeah. Don't sit on it.
Yeah.
And there's always the funny guy, too. It's never the actual comedian working there. I was never funny in any office.
Right.
I would just keep that to myself and just try and get to my shitty fucking day.
Yeah.
But there's always the one guy, hey, is it Friday yet?
I got a case of the Mondays.
Yeah, the reason you're not the funny guy in the office is the same reason the MMA fighter is not the guy picking a fight on the street. He gets that shit out when he's in the gym, so he doesn't need to be the big tough guy when he's walking around. That's some asshole with some insecurity issues.
You always get the guy that's like, I've always wanted to do comedy. Yeah. I've always been known as kind of funny. And I'm like, you're not, I haven't laughed at one single thing you've said.
Do you ever have that person in the office that said, oh, he's a comedian? You're like, no. Shit.
Yeah.
Same 8 questions.
Yeah.
Then you got to hear about how they've always thought about it. Anyway, speaking of comedy, there was an incident this week, guys, involved a friend. He posted about it, but I don't know if he wants to be named on the show, so let's call him by his first name, Mike. So we do a show at a drag queen place in Hillcrest. Now, I was told by my mentor, who is a gay man, never do shows for drag queens because they are too loud. They can never let the focus be on someone besides them.
Right.
So,
can I do a real quick side question?
Sure.
Alan, since we have you in as our gay correspondent.
Of course.
I've heard mixed things. Is the drag queen community gay? Or I've heard some people say, no, they're not all gay. Sometimes this is a thing straight men do. Or like, is that true? Or are those really closeted gay men?
Well, I'm not good at that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Anything. Like, I haven't been in gay world in forever, but...
which is, by the way, the worst Disney theme park.
Yeah, I haven't gone on any rides.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've gone on rides.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for another show.
Because I've always been curious. I was like, maybe that is a thing that just some straight guys love.
You are thinking of cross-dressers, which is different than drag.
Well, no, there's a new group of drag queens that are not gay men. There's even women that do it.
Okay.
Are they dressing as men?
Yeah. There's a woman named Wendy Ho.
I don't know
if you ever heard of her, but she's...
I thought it was women dressing as women. I'm like, that's not...
Maybe they're women dressing as men. Yeah, so it's like... It's
still
like
not fair.
After Victoria. So it's like... Yeah, instead of balls and pantyhose, you got snatch and pantyhose.
So theoretically, at least, as far as you know, there are some straight men who are participating in this activity. Okay, sorry for that distraction. Ryan, go ahead.
Okay, so anyways, I wanted to do it because a friend of mine was booking the show, and, I was curious about it. So I went down, and by the way, drag queens are loud, I'm louder. So anyway, I go down, and I'm opening up the show, which I haven't done forever, but you know what? I was a little bit happy about it. I'm like, all right, let's just get this over
with. It's nice. You get it kind of done. You get to go through it, and then you can kind of set the stage. You can also shrink, because if you have 10 really good jokes, you can cram them into, 15 minutes as opposed to 45 and really come out looking great.
Sure. So, and you know what? I had a great set. I was more than happy with it. So anyways, I get off, and my friend Mike is going to be closing down the show. So the drag queens go up, they do their bit.
Uh-huh.
It was an all-around fun show.
Were you guys in comedy and drag?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So anyways, he gets up, and by now, people are hammered. They're hammered.
Oh.
Now, here's where he made his first mistake. The minute he went up, he didn't even get the mic off the stand yet, and this gay Marine jumps on the stage and just decides to, start trying to be part of the show. Mike... Right there, and we talked about this afterwards. I'm like, he should have just kicked them the fuck off the stage. Like, no, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
All right, hi, I'm Mike. But instead, he tried to riff with them a second, And I can see the wheels turning in his head, and I've definitely done this mistake where I'm like, all right, I'm the comedian. I need to make something funny out of this situation.
I should
be prepared to handle this. And it just goes nowhere because the person's just too drunk. They can't riff, they don't know yes and. So you're like, what's going on, buddy? And they're like, party. I'm like ah, shit. Give me nothing to work with. So anyway, finally the idiot gets off the stage. Mike is now 5 minutes of no laughter into his set, right? Then Drunk Marine's heavyset gal pal comes walking to the front of the stage.
Named Princess.
And Mean Princess? Is that what that's called?
Named Princess. They're always... There's always a chubby girl named Princess.
Oh! Okay, all right, got it.
Princess.
Might have been, too. So she comes up to the front of the stage, and she starts heckling. And it's this. And at this point, Mike starts to get really frustrated because he's already had to deal with her drunk friend, and now is dealing with her. And so she's just slurring, going, and he's like, "Lady, I'm at work right now, okay?" She goes, "So I have a job. And so he goes, "Really, what do you do?" She goes,
"I work in an office. You should see my blankets."
She goes, "I'm in the Navy, but I'm getting out and getting out of the Navy." And he goes, "Before I tell you what he said, just know that I found it funny."
Well, all you right. said she was a bigger lass, correct?
That's right. Okay. And so he said, "Are you getting out of the Navy or are you being kicked out for being too fat?"
Oh.
There was a lot of heavy set people at this bar.
Yeah.
And he lost the room with that one.
You gotta be funnier with it, though. Like, there's a bunch of things.
Well, he was upset.
You could have said, You could have said, "Are you getting out or are they decommissioning you for scrap metal?" Like, there's a lot of different routes you could go.
Oh, you know, hindsight's 20/20, Bobby. Right. When you've been interrupted for the second time and they're being rude and you're just trying to do your fucking 15 minutes, dude, I support it 100% what he said. But first of all, even though he's a man of ethnicity, he's still a straight male a LGBT bar, which is a very body positive community.
Sure. That's a lie.
Okay, well, okay,
that's
all right.
A lie.
I got it. But when it comes to women, you cannot be a straight male that says something about a woman's appearance and get away with it. You just can't.
No. Okay, fair enough.
So, anyways. The room erupts in booze.
No, no.
So he is out there. He just tries to go back into his material, and literally he's yelling over booze. Okay?
Wow.
And I'm sitting there like with my hands on my head like, no. So this is all very tough. Now, her group of friends are all, they look to be all gay military. And here's the thing about gay Marines. Evidently, they like to fight as much as the regular Marines.
Wow. Well, they are Marines.
I didn't know this. That did surprise me. Because, you know this, me and my wife like to go to gay bars and get fucked up because that's a typically non-hostile group. You know what I mean? No one ever picks a fight with me at a gay club. But this guy, the haircut says Marine, the capris say otherwise, but he is getting amped. I see him. They're all talking, and they're yelling at him, and they are fixing to fucking fight. And so, also, there's this one little lesbian that like has a backwards hat and fancies herself up to be a tough broad. She's about 103 pounds soaking wet. She's 5 foot tall, but she's like, I'll kick your ass. I'm going to kick that guy's fucking ass. She's the girl. I got her fucking pegged perfectly. I know people that like to say, you don't know her story. I know her exact story. She is the girl that goes, I'll fight a man. I'll fuck up a man. And when shit pops off, she's the first one to jump on a guy's back, but she catches a lucky elbow, and all of a sudden, he hit me!
I'm a woman!
Yeah, I'm a woman! And then solicits the whole bar to kick that one guy's ass who didn't even know who was on his back.
Right.
So anyway, that's her. And she's like, she's doing the thing where she's testing her pulse, like, oh, I'm getting so amped. Ooh, I'm
the Hulk is coming.
Yeah.
Like, what's she tracking her cardio? What the fuck are you doing with
your
pulse?
I'm just imagining like a giant Little Shop of Horrors plant coming out of like a vagina.
So anyways, he did get some of the crowd back by the end of the set. I was actually kind of proud of him because the way it was going, I would have just fucking left. I'm like, sorry about all this. I'll see you later. But no, he stuck with it. He did his time. He fought through the booze. And he did end up winning about half the crowd back by the end. So he gets off and he just decides to beeline it because those people are furious.
Right.
That Marine was not bi-curious. He was bi-furious. He's walking out and the tiny lesbian runs up to him with her backwards hat trying to be all butch. She's like, what, bitch? What, bitch? I'll fuck you up. Say something funny. I'll kill you. And he's like, bye. So he leaves. But I still see that Marine fucking staring at the door which he has exited through. When someone's still staring at an empty portal, then they're not done.
Right.
So I kind of mosey into the bar just nonchalantly. I see Mike exit the building, but he's probably a few paces to his car, and that's when I see that Marine walking through the bar.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I went into linebacker mode. I just step in front of him, put both forearms out. I'm like, come on, come on. He grabs my wrists, And I'm like, oh, here we go.
It wasn't, you didn't even try the distraction model of like stepping in front of him.
There was
like,
no time.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like the guy was just going to slightly pace a few behind him.
Right.
He was just fixing to run after him. So I block. I'm like, come on, man.
Do you do the thing where you stop in front and you go, you just dropped your wallet?
I could think of none of this.
I was in a combat. Fell out.
I was about to fight a trained soldier, okay? I didn't have time to be off of all these trickeries that you have somehow come up with. King
more
of pranks.
Like, more like the trained soldier was about to fight you.
Yeah.
I mean, I like you, but you would have lost that fight.
Right. I don't know. Their hand-to-hand combat editors aren't as good as you think. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. I fucking trained MMA for years, and this guy did like a rape prevention class in there. Anyway, I don't know who's going to win, but at the very least, I can handle it better than my friend Mike can.
Yeah.
So I'm like, come on. So he like kind of puts hands on me, but he's doing that role. He's like, he called my friend fat. I'm like, I understand that, and it was tasteless. I would handle it differently, but she was heckling me. He's like, I don't care. No one calls my friend fat. I'm like, I get that, man. I'm like,
what
listen.
About a doctor? I mean, you sure. Go start knocking out dudes at Sharp Healthcare or what?
Kicks in the clinic door. What'd you say?
Use your diabetes on him.
So, anyways, I don't know if he's gonna swing on me, but all I could think was, you mentioned wallet. I figured let's bring up a little bit of pay here. I'm like, dude, if you try and get past me, I'm gonna stop you. And if we fight, the cops will be here in 5 minutes. I'm a comedian. You're a Marine. Tomorrow, I'm going to the next show and forgetting about this. Tomorrow, right. your CEO is going to hear about it, and you're going to get busted down at least one rank for getting in trouble at a bar. All right? What kind of pay decrease is that? He's like, you call my friend fat. I'm like, stop saying that.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I love the guy that's trying to convince himself to fight. That's what ends up happening a lot of times.
It did look like he was amping himself up for something he didn't want to do.
Because there is the guys who are just going to go off and pop off and hit you, and guess what? They don't need to amp themselves up. They're already there. They have to try and calm themselves down, if anything. And then there's the guys who feel like they should be fighting, but they actually in their head know better, and they're trying to talk themselves into it. And that's what that guy is. He called my friend, he's repeating his mantra to try and get himself psyched up to convince himself to fight.
After he finally just stormed back to his group of friends, I just rejoined the patio. I had some people that showed up to see my show, and I wanted to hang out with them. And so we're all talking, and then they all go into the bar, and some audience members start yelling at them for causing the scene in the first place, you know, saying they were on the side of the comedian going, well, you heckled, blah, blah, blah. Now there's a shouting match at the bar.
Oh.
And then the bartender goes, you know what? I'm cutting everyone off. Do you know what happens when you tell gay Marines they're cut off from alcohol? Rabble, 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 rabble. It was chaos, man. It was chaos.
Did you just sneak out a window when nobody was looking?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I threw a grappling hook over the wall and just climbed my way out of that bar.
Like the Who in Cincinnati.
And then you call up your mentor and go, you were right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I cannot give him the satisfaction. Anyway, first day of school occurred. Alan, we were talking about this before you came on the show. You have a pet peeve about the back to school time.
Let me just preface this by saying I hate children.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan. I would enjoy it if they were never around me. I know people have them.
He insisted Bobby didn't have his kid home.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, get him out of here, and also spray the place.
I'll fight him. I don't care.
He sucks at fighting too. So,
but then, like everybody on Facebook is posting pictures of their kids' first day of school. It's like no one wants their picture and for the first day of first grade. Everyone's a dork.
Oh,
you're gonna put this shit on fucking Facebook for years.
So it bothers you when people do the first day of school pics?
Yeah, it bothers me.
You're a monster.
Like, I don't want to see your mistake. Your mistake and putting a backpack on it and sending it to school.
You gotta do. You gotta be one of those right wing trolls and be like, you think your kid's brave for going to school? What about the troops?
I'm telling you, and they all think that. Listen, I have a friend who got pregnant by a stranger on a trampoline. So don't fucking tell me all these kids are bland and joyful.
Wait, go back.
I'm sorry, Nina.
No.
I'm thinking in my head. Would that make it more or less likely to get pregnant? Like maybe the bouncing, that gets the stuff in, like the
get
cervix,
pregnant. Yes, keep it. No.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, go back to the trampoline. What are you talking about?
My friend got drunk with this guy, mm-hmm. and they had a trampoline outside, of course, because it's in the Midwest. Who doesn't have a trampoline in their backyard?
Right.
There's nothing else to do.
Yeah, trampolines and above ground pools.
Yeah.
And
I've had both in my backyard.
She fucked a guy in a trampoline that she didn't know and got pregnant and ended up keeping the kid.
And did you ever track this gentleman down? And let him know.
Yeah, but he didn't want to be involved in the kid's life. He was
only, didn't have a choice.
He was like 22 or something.
Still, there's something called a fucking paternity test.
There's something called trampoline law, which, much like maritime law, excludes you from paternity.
That's true. That's true.
Technically, if you're not making contact with the ground at the time of inception, no, you're not legally the father.
He's right. I read that in a book written by a guy who writes books, so yeah, you know it's true.
I just think it's strange that people are like, here's my kid, first, second, third, fifth, sixth, seventh grade.
All on trampolines?
Yeah, all on trampolines, of course. You can't have a kid picture without a trampoline.
So, all right, so what have you done to fight back if you don't like it so much?
I wish there was a dislike button. I just put angry faces.
You put angry faces at kids' first day of school?
Yeah, you make me sick.
Are you in there, like, putting the vomit react in the comments?
Yes, I'm tired of being bamboozled into liking kids. Like, I shouldn't have to like your kid. I don't want to see it on my fucking face.
This is why Alan's such a great step-in for Dave, because he's got the same bitterness just directed at other people. Yeah. He's got the same inexplicable bitterness.
Old people and children. Yeah. Fuck them. Fuck them all.
Oh, I hope the flu comes by and kills most of you guys.
Oh, anti-vaxxer, I enjoy you. Please, kill your kid. Get it out of here.
Well, Alan, as some may remember from previous episodes, shares my love of horror. Have you seen Meg yet, the new Megalodon Big Shark movie?
I have not, but I'm going to see it next week, and I cannot wait.
It's been in theaters, and you're not seeing it.
Well, I don't like to go and see it with Jane and John Q. Public.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You like, wait till it empties out a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of sitting with strangers in the dark.
Okay.
So, Meg, I assume, based on Megalodon, the large shark. But think of a great white shark, but about 50 feet long. Yeah. And this was a real creature that lived up to about 2 million years
ago.
It
fed on T-Rexes.
And now. It's now.
Yeah, probably not fedding on T-Rexes. But imagine that, because what's crazy is if it died about 2 million years ago, which is some of the oldest Megalodon teeth we have. So if it died about 2 million years ago, there were things that looked kind of like us, like Homo erectus was running around at that time. So theoretically,
if you believe that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone needs to read their Bible.
So theoretically, like, there were hominids that looked somewhat like us that might have, maybe, though this thing was probably deep ocean, encountered these to some extent. How terrifying would it be to see a full-size school bus of a great white shark that could just eat anything? It was just massive and predatory and just a killing machine. Think of a great white shark. A great white shark is terrifying at 15 feet.
Well, all right. So here's the thing. The public, for those reasons, is like fascinated with the concept of a megalodon still being around.
Right.
And there's some tinfoil hat people that think they're still in the deep water trenches.
Right. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, basically, I did read the book because I'm a fucking shark nerd. And in this story, I don't know how it's going to play out in the movie, but in the book at least, their whole thing was, okay, the oceans cooled off and then warmed back up, right?
Okay.
So they thought that the megalodons still exist in the trenches where there still are underwater volcanoes, but they can't pass through this this layer of freezing cold water before it gets to the warm water. And at some point in the book, they send submarines down. One of the things gets caught on the line, and it travels through a stream of blood up into our society.
Wow.
That's how they think this thing... It's a novel.
Yeah, sure,
there's science involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, plenty.
Similar to the Tim Allen movie, The Santa Claus. It follows a very similar scientific motif.
It's weird to me that Tim Allen would agree to play Santa Claus so many times, given, you know, Santa Claus's track record to giving handouts to poor people. I know Tim Allen didn't like that.
Well, maybe he was just thought that the snow was cocaine.
Yeah.
He did have a problem. Let's not pretend.
He certainly turned that snow into cocaine a little bit later, I'll tell you what.
But anyway, people are obsessed with the idea that the megalodon might still exist. And do you guys remember about 2 or 3 years ago, I think, Shark Week did a faux documentary.
Yes, where that they did not tell people was fake. They presented it as if it was an actual documentary.
Right, right. And like, didn't they have like pictures of like, oh, look at this dorsal fin next to a German U-boat or something like that.
Yeah.
They forged fucking evidence.
Right.
It was crazy.
They tricked me on that mermaid documentary.
Yeah, they did a mermaid one as well.
I was all like, oh, maybe they did exist.
And, Jesus, you know, Alan. Yeah, at least megalodons existed at some point.
Well, the way they set it up was... they could have existed.
What did they say?
Well, they had mermaids. Yeah. It was like, you know, we found skeletons and someone found one and this is how they probably lived way back. It was all set up like very That's why you can't trust science channels anymore.
No, no, no. The History Channel is like an ironic mixture of its name. The History Channel is the fat guy named Tiny. That's what the History Channel is nowadays.
It's like the Learning Channel. Yeah. Like, you haven't learned anything from the Learning Channel.
Yeah.
It just drives me nuts when I watch shark movies, though, because you know me, I'm a shark nerd. Yep. I'm like, they don't behave this way.
Yeah,
basically,
exactly.
A shark. Have you ever seen a goldfish? Fucking, that's the way it behaves. It has the same fucking brain as a goldfish.
Oh, you mean it doesn't scream and follow someone across the country?
Into the Bahamas.
Into the Bahamas?
Yeah, no, it doesn't do that. It doesn't have a vendetta.
It doesn't slowly work out puzzles if you're stranded on a rock slightly off the beach. Like, yeah.
There was only one scary incident that I can think of where a shark behaved completely against the norm. There
was the basis for Jaws, right?
Well, there is that. There
was when they swam up
in 1912. Yeah, in the beach communities up on the East Coast, and then up the Matawan Creek. That is some scary shit. Let's look into that. But no, there is a video. You can see this video of a woman getting her leg bit off doing this ocean swim, and it's totally not in the norm for great white sharks to gravitate towards a lot of people swimming all at once because it's a loud noise. It scares them away, typically.
Well, and usually if they're biting a person, they think it's a seal, whereas a bunch of people... Like, you can make that mistake with one person, but if there's a bunch of people, usually they're like, all right, that's not a seal.
And you can see it. They're all doing this ocean swim alongside a big boat. You know, I think they were marine biologists. Mm-hmm. And you just... the video starts, you can see a bunch of people screaming, trying to get out of the water, and you just see this thing slowly just come up and just take this woman's leg off. Jesus. It is the thing of nightmares. But back to the fucking fake giant shark movie. Sorry, I got off hand here.
Well, I always think it's what makes them decide it's not going to be on Sci-Fi? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
right.
Like Sharknado.
It was pitched to both of them, and they who picked it up?
Can we get Jason Statham?
Yeah.
If you get Jason, we can put it in the theater.
If their star power gets a theatrical release, otherwise that thing is prime for Sci-Fi Channel.
Did he lose to The Rock?
Maybe.
I feel like maybe they were like, we got to get Dwayne. He was like, listen, I'm doing Baywatch.
Dude,
I'm doing Jumanji too. I don't.
Probably you mentioned this before. Does The Rock have an agent that ever says, dude, this is a career killer?
Yeah.
But they're not.
They're not.
But they're not.
The Rock. I love The Rock movies. I'm in.
Anyone that has done even half the stingers he's done would be finished.
Okay, no.
I was in a theater. My wife loves the Fast and Furious series, and I was in a theater when there was a scene in the Fast and Furious where The Rock has a cast on, and he just like flexes to burst the cast off and yells something like "Time to go to work," and everybody yelled and cheering. Like if that had been anybody else other than The Rock, everybody would be like, oh, come on.
If anyone else had done the Tooth Fairy, they'd be sitting next to Belky from Perfect Strangers asking each other what went wrong.
Ask Larry the Cable Guy. He did the sequel.
Yes. Dude, Larry the Cable Guy takes over for a lot of star power. Have you noticed that? Like Jingle All the Way 2. He was in the Tooth Fairy 2. I think he did some one other movie where he just took over for like a big name actor.
Have you seen his like a cooking line at the dollar store?
I have.
It's crazy.
Oh, I believe you did a review of the sausages.
That was Big Frog on his 99 cent store Chronicles.
Oh,
he launched a cooking line. That's how popular he is.
Store.
Is he fucked? Do people mention him during Grace in the Midwest? I think they do.
Oh, they love him and they love Ron White. Anybody on that blue collar comedy tour?
They just love
him. Huge fans.
Funniest guys ever.
Yes.
I feel like somewhere in the Midwest, Larry the Cable Guy has a very successful line of sleeveless flannels that sell for 95 bucks a piece.
Those are good.
But back to The Rock, you guys have to see a movie called Rampage based on the 1980s video game. He does sign language.
Really?
The Rock does sign language with a gorilla.
Wait, isn't Rampage the one where you fight like a gorilla versus a T-Rex or something?
Well, you're supposed to like fight and
or is that Primal Rage?
Down.
Okay.
And they climb the buildings and you knock the buildings down and that's kind of what they do. And they have like a wolf. And
that's
a
it.
Dinosaur. Yeah.
That's the fucking plot of that movie.
But The Rock has been training this gorilla, a white gorilla. And then it gets...
Why does he have to be a white gorilla?
Because he's got a higher socioeconomic status. Statistically, he's more educated.
And he won't get arrested by the police.
Yeah, he can drive down. He can drive through the nice neighborhoods. Right.
You people are monsters. Continue.
And he trains the gorilla with sign language.
He trains the gorilla with sign language, and then some sort of bacteria gets into his system, and he becomes large.
That's what happens.
He's the
only
one.
It's like radiation and things. You get superpowers. You don't die of cancer.
He's the only one that can communicate with this gorilla. He's like, no, no, bad. And I'm like, yes, more.
You know what's funny? I just figured this out, and I feel that we covered this as like one of the science myths on Science Faction that I didn't know for the longest time. Did you know that gorillas have never learned sign language? That was all a total BS stunt, like Coco the gorilla and all that stuff. It's total bullshit. They've never learned sign language.
What are you talking? What
are you
saying?
Yeah, it's total BS.
How?
I don't believe that.
So, and one of the ways you know this is there are no gorilla sign language things at universities anymore. There are no gorilla sign language programs anywhere anymore because they were total bullshit. It's from the this period in the 60s and 70s where we didn't really know what was going on. There's a lot of coke in the air and stuff. And so they'd be like, yeah, we taught this gorilla sign language. They know a bunch of signs. But then when they would actually look at the gorilla would just be kind of like repeating certain things. Like you can teach them a sign for like juice and they'll just keep saying juice, juice, juice. But it's not having cognitive thoughts or conversations with you.
Right.
Just like a dog will sit there and beg for food. It's begging for juice or whatever. And they proved it because in the mid-90s, they tried to do like an AOL open source thing with Coco the gorilla where they're like, let's ask Coco questions. And they'd be like, so Coco, what's your favorite thing to do? And it'd be like, juice food now. And like, and basically what it was they would learn some signs and just repeat whatever the instructor had just shown them.
To get the treat.
To get the treat. But they wouldn't have any kind of cognitive thought or interaction. They didn't really understand what was going on. And it was all the interpretation of their trainer who'd be like, because they'd be like, hey Coco, what do you like most about being out in the world? And Coco would be like, sky paint tree. And the trainer would be like, well, you see, Coco really likes nature and the outdoors, so she's expressing her love of trees.
I'm just seeing the trainer over the person's back, like, showing Coco a stun gun.
Yeah. It was basically the animal version of cold reading. Like, they would just tell the person back what they wanted to hear.
They
were never actually communicating with sign language. It was all total bullshit.
See, now I'm mad, because when I was a kid, I'd be like, what if they release it back in the wild, and all it knows is sign language?
Right.
Meet with the other gorillas. Now I'm like, there's no goddamn gorilla communicating.
You see, that's how I feel about Macaulay Culkin's acting, is that you could tell when he was a kid, he was just memorizing those lines phonetically, but he had no idea what any word coming out of his mouth meant.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Except for in The Good Son.
He was good in that. But I think that's because he's secretly a sociopath.
Well, aren't they all?
Have you ever seen that guy act like as an adult? He's terrible.
Yeah, I saw him in that Party Monster movie.
Yeah, he's still doing this thing. He was just like a gorilla. His parents gave him a treat for learning lines, and he does that as an adult. And he does not know what any of these lines mean.
No.
He is just saying the words.
And his brothers and sisters are the same exact way.
Yeah.
They're like that kid that was in Scream 4, and I'm like, aren't you 29? Why are you
in high school?
What the fuck's going on?
Yeah. Anyway, enough about giant sharks and Macaulay Culkin and talking apes. Bobby, how was your week, if it doesn't involve those things?
I had two hilarious instances involving getting screwed over with your car. One was, I took my car to go get like new rotors and brake pads and stuff, just regular maintenance. I do things like very cheaply and smartly in that I wait for things to go on sale on Amazon, buy the parts, wait till like there's like a discount at Pep Boys and go to get them put in and stuff. So I did all that. And then on a whim, I was like, all right, I got the pads and the rotors. Might as well just flush the brake fluid, which is a fairly easy procedure. And I checked with Pep Boys and they're like,
might as well just flush this brake pad down the toilet.
Hey, screw this. Eat that asbestos.
I just went right over my head. I have no idea.
Well, so this is just basically removing the fluid from your brakes and replace it just like you would with the oil. And so on Thursday, I turned my car in and Pep Boys was like, yeah, cool. It'll be about 2 hours. And they call me back 2 hours later. They're like, yeah, man, something's wrong with this brake flush. It's not working right. And then they call me back a little bit later. Yeah, it's still not going. And then literally 4 days later, they're just like, yeah, man, we just found out. We read some books. It turns out this is a procedure that has to be done at the dealership. You can't do it here.
We Googled how to fix cars. And,
we went to the library.
We've been doing it all wrong.
We're
very sorry.
He's like, we don't have the right equipment. I was like, oh, you need like special equipment for this model? And he's like, yeah, it turns out you need special equipment to do this for hybrids. And I was like, it's 2018. Have you literally never worked on a hybrid? How is it? Like, the Prius is the most popular car on Earth, and there's many, many hybrids. Have you, like, your Pep Boys, in your entire history up till now, you've never worked on a hybrid?
Look, man.
They've been around for 20 fucking years.
Look, man, this is Pep Boys. We know people don't really know if we're doing it right half the time. In fact, when people come in to get their tires rotated, we just leave them where they are, and they count to 1,000, 2,000, and just, they never know.
So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll take it to the dealership. And they're like, yeah, they'll be able to help.
If your car's not out of gas, we don't know what's wrong with it.
Right. And then I was like, okay, sweet, I'll come pick it up. And they're like, by the way, just so you know, when you drive to the dealership, there aren't any brakes right now. And I was like, hold on, wait, let's bump that back a little bit. No brakes. And they're like, yeah. So those don't work. So, you know, just, be careful.
I just feel like at this point, you owe me a free tow.
Yes.
Or did they dig a hole in the car so you could stop it with your feet? Like, down? Or, like, what was the deal?
Yeah. So I had that nice one of getting that to the dealership and getting them to.
Also, we lost your seats.
Right. No, I don't know where that is. They're gone. So I had that. But then I had a second one, which just happened yesterday, where my wife, who works in an apartment complex.
Wait, how'd you get your car over the dealership?
A tow, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But
didn't you at least...
I got a discount on the work that they did.
They didn't do any work. They fucked up your car and gave it back to you.
No, I got the rotors and the pads on, and I got a synthetic oil change. And then, so my wife, yesterday, she goes to work. She just works at a regular building complex. She parks the car. Now, she is the VP of operations for this company. She's the one who rented this place. She knows the landlord of the area. She knows all of the people who work there. They have met her numerous times. And she has a very distinctive car because I got a great deal on it secondhand from a guy in Orange County because it has flames on the side of it.
What is with that, man?
It's a badass car.
So your wife's driving a Hot Topic
shirt. Yeah, my wife is driving a Ford Escape hybrid that looks like it's trying to drag race you every time it's at a stoplight.
It looks like a Hot Wheels toy.
Yeah. So it's incredibly distinctive. Like, you would not miss this car for anything else. And she has met with the actual business owner and business manager and stuff numerous times.
But she's not met with a paint shop?
No. I was going to take them off because they're just pinstripe, but they look fucking badass, so I kept them on. So anyway, long story short, she has been with them for a while. They all know her and stuff. She didn't go in very early. She came in about 10 a.m. the other day, went to work, comes out, just gives me a call, and she goes, "I think my car just got stolen. It's not here." And I go, "Okay, hold on. Are you sure you didn't park differently?" She's like, "No, I parked in the same place every single day. It's not here." And I go, "Okay, I'll look for towing signs and then call them up and see." And she goes, no, there's no way. I know the building manager. And also, I haven't even been here that long, and they know who I am." Calls up. Her car got towed. The building manager, the guy who owns the building, was like, "Oh, yeah, that car was here for a really long time." And she goes, I got in at 10:30. It's lunchtime. What are you talking about? Also, we've met with my car. Like, you've met me in the parking lot as I was getting out of my car with the flames on the side of it. You know who I am." And he's like, "Yeah, well, you know, we've had some people parking the lot that don't belong here, so I've been trying to be really diligent." And she's like, "That doesn't make any sense. Diligent against me? What are you talking about?" It basically, Ryan, was harkening back to the yoga studio woman of your previous story, right, when she tried to get your car towed, except way less justified, because she literally legally has a right to park there. And the guy was just like, "Can't have that car there. I gotta get that towed."
Did I tell you that I had another encounter with that fucking yoga studio?
Did you really?
Yeah. This time I had to go back for a follow-up, and I'm like, "All right, I'm not parking in that fucking lot again."
Uh-huh.
For those of you that missed that episode, I parked in an empty lot, and because it was customers only, this bitch tried to have my car towed, and we got in this whole stupid loop of conversation. I'm like, "I understand it's for customers only, but all the businesses are closed. I'm not taking any spots from anyone. There's no cars here." And they went, "But it's for customers only." And it continued like that for fucking, it seemed like forever.
He made fun of my friend for being fat.
So exactly. So anyways, I parked where I'm supposed to, and I was eating an apple, the core of which I discarded into a bush.
Literally.
She saw me. And then I had to have another 30-minute conversation about how apple cores aren't littering.
Well, what's funny is my wife wasn't that angry. I was way more angry than her because I was like, "Did you pull in frontwise?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "That means I had to drag you out. That's going to do damage to the alignment. Fuck these guys." And I was super pissed. And I was just pissed at the nonchalant attitude. So while my wife was like, went with the owner to the tow yard to go get the car, and she was like very cool about it. Meanwhile, I called up San Diego police and I was like, "Listen, somebody towed my car. Here are the things." What's great is the cop who took the phone call, who was in like auto theft, he's like, "I am sick and tired of these motherfuckers towing cars out of here. Because let me tell you something, we get so many calls." And he goes, "Here's what you do." And the cop was like more on board even than I do. He goes, "Technically, that's Grand Theft Auto. Like, it doesn't matter if you call a tow truck to steal somebody's car.
Yes, that's
if you don't have a right to take somebody's car, it's Grand Theft Auto." He goes, "Tell me right now, I will go arrest him."
Yes.
And I was like, "Oh, this is great." And he goes, "Here's the best part." He goes, "It's Friday afternoon. He won't get seen by a judge till Monday."
Yeah.
He's going to spend the weekend in our jail as a car thief. And guess what? There's not car thief for business owners who made a mistake cell. There's just one big cell for everybody who's in there.
Now, let me ask you, who's he going to arrest? The actual tow truck driver?
No. The tow truck driver is on contract. The person who takes liability is the person who calls them up and points it out and says, "Tow this car," which happened to be the owner of the building.
Okay. All right. So the owner of the building goes to jail.
Yes.
Now, did you do it?
I called up my wife and I was like, babe, guess what? Because, of course, me and the cop get in because he's the king of pranks as well, I guess. And so we're
vigilante justice with a cop on your side.
Yeah, because so I told this story to the cop, and as I'm telling the story, you can hear that this guy has heard the story 1,000 times and is frustrated with this shit with this. And he goes, "All right, let me tell you what we're gonna do." And he's like, "All right, so you're gonna come into the station and file a report, but it's gonna take a while for me to take it. So you're gonna tell me the name of the guy over the phone, so I can start it now. You have to still have to come down and sign it, but the report will already be done. We're not going to waste time with me going out to get him. I'm going to have a patrol officer waiting nearby, so the second you come in and sign the paperwork, I can radio him. He'll go arrest the guy, slap the cuffs on him, bring him in." The cop had this whole plan scheduled out, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, this is great. I love this cop style."
Bobby was like, "Are you okay?
Are you kidding me? We were high-fiving over the fucking phone.
What is going on in your life and your mind that is making you act like this? Take it easy."
We were having a great time, and so I got super excited. I was like, all right, hold on. Let me just call my wife. I'll get all the info.
Tow trucks are so fucking present. Predatory though, aren't they? Like, there was a time, and this is when I really started to see how predatory they are. I was working a new job. I just got hired, so I was in that, like, when you first get hired a job, you don't get your first paycheck for like a full month.
Right. Yeah.
You miss the first pay period, then you gotta wait another 2 weeks. So that first month is really tough, right? You know, my tags on my truck were expired. Oh. I had no money to pay for them until I got my first check. And I'm working this job. I had to park on the street. And I just come out, and same as your wife, I'm like, "Holy fuck, my truck is stolen." So I call the cops, and they tell me, "Oh, no, they radioed it into here." And so I check the signs. I'm like, "Was I near a red curb?" Nothing. I go to the tow yard. I'm like, "Where the fuck did you tow my car?" And they go, "Your tags were expired." I'm like, "What fucking business is of yours?" The cop called in, like, "No, we saw it, and you can't have the parked on the street." I'm like, "You motherfucker.
Yeah.
You literally drive the streets looking for a fucking expired tag so you can be a fucking hall monitor and go, oh, can't do that. And then you get a free $342. And they're like, yeah, pretty much. And I'm like, all right, well, so I borrow money from my then girlfriend. You know, I'm like, of course, I'll pay you back when I get my first check. And I'm like, here's $342. And they're like, oh, no, you also have to pay your registration.
Oh,
yeah, your tags are expired. You have to go renew your registration. Of course, that'll take another, probably another 1 to 2 days at least. And we do charge by the day.
Yeah.
So, by the time you get back here, it's probably going to be up to
$600. Yeah, they're the worst. But in this case, it wasn't even their fault. The guy is the worst because, for all they know, they're legally towing a car that's not supposed to be there, right? They just show up on contract.
Oh, and they couldn't be more psyched about it. They still get the money.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not like he's like, "Oh, I wish I didn't have to do this." They're like, "Yeah."
So long story short, I called up my wife super excited after getting off the phone with my buddy the cop, and I was like, "Hey, babe, guess what? They're going to arrest him, and he's going to go to jail for the weekend." She's like, "No!"
Oh, yeah, because he still has to work next to that guy, right?
She's like, we rent this building and stuff, and I got super disappointed. I was like, "All right, I guess there's no vigilante justice.
You're no fun.
God damn it.
The power trip you could have had
every time
you shut your door and click, click. Hello.
Yeah, I was just because
I want to do something.
Because you got to imagine just this smug piece of shit who's like, "Yeah, I just don't like people parking in my lot," and just watching him wilt in jail over the weekend. That would have been so awesome.
Yeah, I don't like cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, I would have been fantastic to watch, but yeah.
Shawshank.
Unfortunately, did not happen.
Alan, I want to thank you for stepping into guest host here. Please come back soon.
Yes, thank you guys so much for having me. Always have a blast on the show.
Absolutely.
Hopefully this will be our most listened to episode as well. So tell whoever you told last time.
God. It's me, Margaret.
I'm sorry to wrap this up on a bummer note. I feel like we've been talking about people who died recently a lot lately, and I'm sorry for that. But today really affected me. I woke up to some really sad news. A buddy of all of ours, Kendrick Smith, a very funny comic, and a great guy and a great dad to his kids, passed away. He had cancer. He told us 6 months ago. And the really great thing about Kendrick is, and this speaks to his character a lot, is the doctors told him, "You got no hope, man. You went from your lungs to your pelvis to your bladder. You maybe make it a year." And they're like, "Dude, just take these. We got some awesome medication for you that'll ease you into that good night, man." And he said, "No." He elected to do chemo so his kids could have a few extra months with him. That is like volunteering to be poisoned and lay on hot coals for the sake of your kids.
Literally, you are volunteering to be poisoned. That's what chemo is.
And he did that just for the sake of his kids. And that just speaks to what a great guy he was. And I miss him already. And he was a fantastic guy. And I just feel bad for his family and his kids right now. And hey, Kendrick, if you could hear me wherever you are, man, I love you. Oh, yeah.
that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.